When my sister started having children, she would often send them home for us to help take care of them. Since I was young, I was always spending time with children. During my fourth year of university, I moved in with my two elder sisters who lived in adjacent houses. One had four kids, the other had three. So I basically lived and breathed with seven children. What I'm about to share is not just theory, but they are practical, real-life experiences from my many years of being with and working with children. When I was an undergrad, I took 20 educational credits, and I also took child educational psychology. I was very passionate about the subject and excelled at all the tests. Afterwards, I wanted to come to America to continue studying child educational psychology. I believed that teaching and disciplining a child well really makes a difference, but often parents don't understand how to teach their children and end up inflicting emotional damage while disciplining them, especially parents who have just had their first child. Natural human love can often bring hurts to children, so at that time I was passionate to study abroad for child education psychology. While I was seeking the Lord about whether to go ahead, during that year's conference, I heard Dorothy Bidlake's brother-in-law preach about how he teaches his three children, and he also talked about how his own father taught them. I suddenly realized that the best way to discipline children is not through psychology, but rather through the Bible. So I obeyed the Lord and did not study abroad. Through all the scripture that I've memorized over the years, and through the transformation brought by practicing inner life, I discovered that whenever I deal with children, it just seemed to get easier and easier, and I would always just know what to do, and it always worked effectively. But I observed that many parents do not know how to discipline their children when they are misbehaving. Children become disrespectful and disconnected from their parents when they reach teenage. They tell parents they are outdated and that times have changed now. So today we're going to talk about how to discipline your child even when they are young, so that when they grow up, it will be easier to establish a good relationship with them. Don't let your kids scream wildly or get into the habit of being too noisy. You can tell them to be quiet, especially during a meeting. Before you leave for the meeting, tell the child that Jesus is there, so you need to be quiet, okay? Even children who are really young, you can convey your instructions through emotion and tone. Of course, there is also positive reinforcement, and we will talk about that in the coming sessions. But today, we will focus more on the disciplinary aspect. Your kids need to respect you and know that when you say something, you mean it. Many parenting books will say, a loving parenting style does not include spanking, and even some Christian teachings say the same. A psychology professor once said, love parenting promotes not spanking, but the result is a failure. Kids grow up rebellious, racing cars in the street, vandalism, robbery, etc. So this method I'm going to teach you today is not from books, but are from experience. Often I will visit a family and discover their child is disobedient, but I will tell the parents, if you'll work with me, your child will be changed by the time I leave. By the end of the week, the child runs up to me and hugs me after I preached, and the parents told me that their child is so well behaved now. I discovered that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. When we have the word of the Lord in our hearts, then you will have the wisdom to discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. If you love them, you need to discipline them at any time. If you keep track of all the incidents, let them build up, then discipline all at once, you will not be able to achieve the goal of discipline. A mother was telling me how she listened to my teachings and also spanks her child, but it is not working. I went to their home to have dinner and discovered the problem. She let her child misbehave multiple times before blowing up and spanking her child extensively. After spanking, she put down the rod and left the child to go wash dishes. The child stomped and cried loudly in the aftermath. I told her, the reason your disciplining isn't effective, even though you spank them so intensely, is because you did not discipline immediately when they misbehaved. The moment they first misbehaved, you should have started disciplining. The mother waited until her anger was built up, but she should have never disciplined in anger. So in my perspective, the problem was with the mom's disciplining methods. Second, the son did not submit to her discipline. Him stomping around means that his spirit did not submit to her discipline. In the end, her discipline will not reach its intended effect, and she would have spanked her child for nothing. The only effect it will have is more stubbornness and a stronger, unsubmissive spirit. When they are grabbing something that they shouldn't, you should immediately use a strict tone and say, "Do not grab that." And if they do not listen, you should start employing spanking right away as well. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away." Kids are not good at making choices yet. They haven't been shaped or taught what is right, so we need to teach them. The best tool for disciplinary punishment is a thin bamboo rod, sanded smooth. It is better than a belt or a ruler because it inflicts pain, but is very shallow and will not leave any injuries or bruises. Our intention is not to injure, but to discipline. Only through discipline can we drive out folly. When verbal warnings do not work, immediately employ the rod. Teach them to acknowledge the purpose of the rod. It is for spanking misbehaving children, and teach them not to play with it or disrespect the tool of discipline. Once children get to a certain height, they start to be able to reach vases and other breakable items. Parents start running after them and moving everything out of the way. One grandmother wanted to keep her house clean, and she taught her grandson by saying, "You can only sit on this seat, and you cannot touch this vase on the table, or I will spank you." Every time the grandson visited, he would remember to sit only on that one seat and not touch the vase. Sometimes, when we give verbal warning, it does not work, so we will need to use stricter means of discipline. Every home needs to have a designated rod of discipline, and I think the ideal place to spank is the hand, because you can look at them and they can see it coming, and it will make the discipline a more impactful experience. Proverbs 23:13-14 says, "Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death." I can understand the pain of spanking your child. It is so easy for us to have compassion and yield to them. But according to the Bible, if we love them, we need to discipline them, even if it hurts us. A lot of times, you can avoid spanking if your verbal warnings are working. But if not, this verse says, punishing with the rod can save them from death. Proverbs 29:15-17 says, "A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire." When you bring your children to church, bring silent or soft toys so they will not disrupt the meetings. There was a family where the stepmom did not feel as if she had the right to spank the daughter of the previous wife, so she only disciplined her own daughter and left the stepdaughter undisciplined. When the stepdaughter grew up and even got married, her personality sometimes still resembled a child, and it was hard for her to understand what was the right behavior. She was stubborn because of the lack of discipline, but because of the lack of discipline, this person becomes very unpleasant to love and be with. A child left undisciplined disgraces his mother. Many of the young people who commit crimes these days and get caught bring great disgrace to their parents when they have to bail their children out of jail. There was a son who wanted to take a break from school, but his mother wanted him to at least finish the semester. The son got so upset that he decided to run away from home. Then I asked the mother whether she had disciplined her child when he was young, and she said, "No, I have never spanked him with the rod." So disciplining your children will bring you peace and delight. After you discipline your children and establish order, the child would be able to live more securely, and since you discipline immediately and do not wait for your patience to be tested, your children will be able to love you more easily too. A mother's ability to tolerate noise is very limited, and often mothers will wait until she cannot handle it, and then spank extensively. Do not do so. Do not wait until you are tested and you are in anger to discipline. You need to discipline well so that you can have peace. If you follow these disciplinary guidelines, typically after 3 years old, you don't even need to use the rod anymore because your children will follow your verbal warnings. Remember, your goal is not to spank, but to discipline. Some parents talk about spanking constantly, but without follow-through, the phrase just becomes an empty threat, and your children may even imitate the phrase without fear of consequences. There was a 10-month-old who really liked to play with power outlets. I told the mom that you need to give them a verbal warning. Tell them they cannot touch the power outlet. Make sure you are using a firm tone of voice and not one full of compassion. And don't just tell them no, but explain to them why they shouldn't do it. Don't touch this, okay? It's very dangerous and you can get hurt and die. Remember not to laugh even if they make a funny face. If you laugh, then they think you're not really being serious. If they try to test you by touching it again, you start getting their attention, saying, "Hey, hey, hey, I already warned you. If you touch it again, I'm going to spank you," and show them the spanking motion. If they still decide to touch it, then go over and spank very firmly with your hand, but only spank once. And they might start crying, but you immediately follow up by saying, "If you try it again, you will be spanked twice." After a few times, they will understand that the consequences are real, and they will listen. At 1 year old, you can already start using the rod. For example, if they draw on the walls, you can use the same steps that we just described with this 10-month-old and discipline them that way. Another example is greeting guests when aunties and uncles are visiting your home. If you instruct your child to greet aunties or uncles who are visiting, and they try to run away without obeying, you need to bring them back and instruct them to greet the auntie or uncle. If they still do not listen, you need to take them aside and say, "Did you hear what I said? I asked you to greet the auntie. If you do not greet her, I will have to spank you." You have to be firm and consistent with your instructions. If they still do not listen, you let them know that you are getting the rod, and ideally they will dread the rod enough to obey. But if they still do not listen, tell them to extend their hand and spank them once, very firmly. Don't be soft, because if they don't really feel the pain, they will be stubborn, because the punishment doesn't really hurt anyway. Someone asked, should we spank in front of others or in private? When your child is still young, we can break their stubborn attitude and inflated sense of dignity by spanking publicly when the offense is public. Do not create that pattern of not disciplining when others are present, so that whenever there are other people, your child will know they can take the opportunity to disobey. So when a child is young, don't let their sense of dignity become so great that it creates a stubborn and hard-to-discipline personality. They often grow up to become people who cannot take any criticism. These children are what we call treasured and are treated like royalty in the family, but it turns out incredibly spoiled. Do not spank your child for an offense that they were not taught about before. They have not yet learned, hence they are not guilty of intentionally committing an offense. For example, their first time drawing on the walls, you bring them over and explain to them that it is wrong, and that if they do it again, in the future, you will spank them. Once they do it again, then you follow these 5 steps of discipline. Number 1, you ask them, "Have I told you before not to draw on the walls?" And so they'll answer, "Yes." And second question is, "Why did you not listen?" Third question, "I already said that if you don't listen, what will I do?" And so the child will answer, "You will spank me." Number four, if I say something, I have to keep my word, so I have to spank you now. Then you go get the rod. And the fifth question, number five, you ask them to extend their hand. Now, if they don't obey, then you tell them you will spank them more times if they don't listen quickly. No matter how much they plead or cry, you need to be firm and determined to deliver the punishment. Just reply, if I said something, I have to keep my word. Next, you need to limit their crying. If they are crying unreasonably long, they are displaying their unsubmissiveness. You should instruct them to stop crying and start repenting to God and apologizing to you, saying, God, I'm sorry for not listening to mommy when she told me not to draw on the walls. I did it anyway and made her angry. Please forgive me, mommy, and please forgive me, Jesus, and help me not to do it again next time. Then you hug them and tell them, mommy forgives you and Jesus forgives you too. Just like that, no matter the offense, you can use these five phrases to discipline them. There's another example about a two-year-old child. The father always talks in a cute baby talk kind of way, but sometimes that confuses the child as to who is the authority and in control of the situation. Then it is easy to lose the respect that children should have for their parents. During the dinner, the child was asking the mother to feed him, and the mother said, you can feed yourself. But after, the child whined and kept asking, mommy, feed me. The mother softened and went over to feed him. But I told her that she shouldn't do that because if she says something, she needs to do it. If she doesn't, her words will become weightless to the child, and that will result in nagging and more disobedience. So the mother told the child, the auntie said you should feed yourself. And I replied, no, you should never put the authority on someone else. The parents need to maintain absolute authority. If you tell him that the auntie told me that you need to eat on your own, the child will remember the auntie and dislike the auntie while still disobeying the parents. So the mother turned back and said, mommy already said you need to feed yourself. The child was unsubmissive and kept crying and kicking in their seat. So the mom started to threaten spanking, but only remained a threat multiple times. I then told her to quickly go get the rod. She got the rod, but still kept threatening. And I said, go ahead and spank him. After she spanked him, he started to cry. And the mother said, if you cry more, I'll spank twice. He didn't stop. And she said again, if you cry more, I'll spank twice. But I told her not to keep warning. Otherwise, it becomes nagging and not keeping her word. If you've said it once and he still continues crying, you should just go ahead and spank him. If you drag on the discipline and keep threatening and maybe spanking, maybe not spanking, the child becomes stubborn even after extensive spanking. You need to keep the warning short and bring the punishment quickly. That will train your child to obey quickly. Do not give them the opportunity to raise their attitude and struggle against your authority. With this method, even the most absolutely stubborn child will submit. After she spanked him several times, he stopped crying and started eating by himself. Later on, when she came back to check on him, he had one last trick up his sleeve. He asked again, mommy, can you feed me? And this time the mother really wanted to fold and feed her son, but I told her she needed to be firm with her instructions. So she said again, you need to eat on your own. And this time the son submitted. Afterwards, when we were on the car, the child became much more obedient compared to a few days before. He used to always stand up in his seat. But now when his mother makes a sound to warn him, quickly sit down, he will sit down immediately. So many families these days allow their will of their children to go unbroken, and that makes teaching them very difficult. But through these simple steps, you can help your child to be able to listen to instruction and submit to authority quickly. Another example was with a 3-year-old child. I offered to go to their home to help coach them on how to discipline their child. I went to their house, and the child came and started nudging the dad to get off the seat so the child could sit on it. I told the father that he needs to be firm and not yield to the son. He told the son, "I came first to sit on this seat. I'm the biggest in the family. I'm going to stay in this seat." The child replied, "I'm the biggest. Get up so I can sit." I instructed the father to tell the son, "If you insist you're biggest, then I will have to spank you. Daddy is the biggest in this family. You can go sit on a different seat." The child still insisted that, "I'm the biggest." So the father spanked him. The son still did not submit. So each time, the father added the number of times he spanked him. He spanked him twice, then 3 times, then 4 times in a row. Only when it got to 9 spanks, the son submitted and quickly went to sit in the other seat and said, "Daddy's biggest." Afterwards, he came to his father and asked to sit beside him. His father said, "You can sit beside me, but you have to be quiet because I am talking to the pastor." So the son listened and sat there quietly. Once we have disciplined our children like this for a while, we can even lead them to listen to this teaching themselves so that they are submitted to the methods and understand what is the structure of discipline. This way, it is also easier for them to learn to listen to other authority figures such as pastors or teachers. Teach your children to respect pastors, so when pastors need to correct or teach them, they know to listen and to respect them. Teach your kids to respect all aunties and uncles at church too. As a church, it is important that all of the adults work together to teach these precious children that God gave to us as an inheritance. Parents, don't just ignore other children because they are not your own. When you see children in the church needing correction, it is good to help and to ensure that every child growing up in the church is taught well. If you truly love all the children, then you'll be willing to help. Someone asked, should the younger child submit to the older child, or should the older child yield to the younger one? The younger one should always submit to the older one, and the older one should submit to the mother. The mother submit to the father, and the father submit to God. There needs to be proper order and structure so that it instills a proper sense of respect and honor in each child. Personally, it is so easy to love the youngest one more because they are smaller and cuter, but I always make sure to teach them to listen to their older siblings, and I am careful not to spoil them. When the younger one learns to listen to the older siblings, it becomes easier for the older sibling to love them too. Sometimes when the order is reversed and the older one has to yield to the younger one constantly, they will actually take out their anger on the younger sibling when no one is looking because they feel like they are being treated unfairly. When the younger one listens to the older sibling, you can also encourage the older one by saying, "You need to be a good example. Look at how your younger brother or sister listens to you. So you need to love them and treat them fairly." And because there is proper respect from the younger sibling, the older one will often willingly yield toys or food to the younger one out of love rather than obligation from the parents. Someone asked a question about feeding an 11-month to 1-year-old baby, but they are just not willing to eat. I think that the best way is to encourage them with positive reinforcement. "You are such a good boy. All this good food is going to come into your wide open mouth, and you are going to become a healthy and happy child." Encourage them in an exaggerated and exciting way. Sometimes when they get encouragement like that, they become happy and will be willing to eat. If positive reinforcement does not work, tell them, "Are you going to eat? If you won't eat, then I'm putting the food away. And if you're hungry later, you will not get any food until dinner time." One example is about my brother's son. he refused to eat the yam congee we made for lunch. So his mom told him he can leave the table, but he will not get any snacks later. In the afternoon around 4 p.m., he went to his grandmother and said he was hungry. Grandma told him, "We don't have anything besides the yam congee from lunch." And the child willingly said, "Yes, I am willing to eat that." So don't be afraid to let your child go hungry. Don't let them have a choice, because once they understand that they either eat or go hungry, they will submit to whatever you feed them. Also, don't ask them what they want to eat. Do you want this dish or do you want that dish? Train them to eat whatever you put into their plate. Every dish was given to us by Jesus, and every dish mommy makes is tasty and good for you. And if you don't give them too many choices, for example, do you want to eat bread or rice? Oh, do you want noodles or pizza today? Then it won't be easy for them to develop pickiness towards certain foods, and they will eat whatever is in front of them with gratitude. A lot of worldly wisdom teaches parents that you should let your children choose their own clothes because that will promote intelligence and creativity. But how will small children understand what clothes are suitable for what weather? A mother followed this method, and every time before they leave the house, they will have to waste 20 minutes just for the child to pick an outfit. So when they are young, you should just make the choices for them. However, on the flip side, if they're already 8 years old or older, sometimes even till college age, and they are still waiting for you to choose an outfit for them, that is unnatural too. So once they are around 8 years old, you can teach them to start managing their own wardrobe and choose for themselves. But when they are still young, don't allow them too many choices and develop a strong, picky attitude. A lot of times when you feel stuck on a situation with your child, you should pray and ask the Lord what is the best strategy to discipline with, and God will teach you as you go. So sometimes we feel burdened and heavy laden because we do not bring our questions and our struggles to God. I will share up to this point this week, and next week we will share more about positive reinforcement and other ways to discipline and encourage your children.